See, notice he starts out by 70 weeks. And actually, could be translated 70 sevens. In other words, 70 times 7. 70 times 7 equals up, adds up to what? 490. So you can put that in there if you want. So he's talking about 490 weeks or years. Actually, years. 70 weeks or 490 years are determined. God is determined for your people, for Israel, and for your holy city, Jerusalem. And so we see that. Now, 1 week, as I just emphasized there, equals 7 years. And you have the 70 that you have there. So we have 490 years that are being dealt with as we go through here. Now, notice, for your people and for your holy city. And then he gives us a series of six twos. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, the first coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, he fulfilled these three things. With that in mind, go back to the first three twos again. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, when Jesus returns to the earth for his second coming, he will fulfill the second section here of three twos, and let's read them together. To bring in everlasting righteousness, he will bring that when he comes, because he is our righteousness. To seal up a vision and prophecy, because it won't be needed anymore. 1 Corinthians tells us that, chapter 13. And to anoint the most holy. And so those three things will come at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Make sense so far? Pretty simple that we see there. Then he says in verse 25, know therefore and understand. He's making a little switch here in a way. He's going deeper into the subject. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. Well, in the Nehemiah chapter 2, specifically verse 6, there's a command that goes out to rebuild by King Artaxerxes. And we see that's the king, as you know, king of Persia. So we can go that. We can go to Nehemiah chapter 2, specifically verse 6, and we see this command goes out. And so the prophecy is saying, now therefore and understand that from the going forth of, I believe, this command, to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince. So what they're saying is that look at where the command is going forth, and we're going to get a time period here in just a moment, until this time period is fulfilled. When this time period is fulfilled, then the Messiah will make an appearance. So let's look at it. There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How many total weeks is that? 69. So it's not the 70, right? It's the 69. It's not the 400, you know, it's 69 weeks or 483 years times, we'll see it in a moment. So you have a total here of 483. What did we have in the very beginning? 490. What's missing? 7 years or a week. A week is missing. And so what you do is you take the 483 years times the Jewish calendar, most people will reckon it this way, 360 days, and you get 173,880 days. So he's saying from the day of that commandment, proclamation to rebuild, you can count 173,880 days, and the Messiah will be there. Right? Did he show up that day? He did. He showed up exactly that day. The command went out in 314, 455 BC, and Jesus made his appearance there coming into Jerusalem, and we see him coming in on April the 6th, 32 AD, exactly to the date. He made his appearance on that very day. And so that's our Lord. That's why I started out these three scriptures in the beginning. He will do what he says he will do. Now, if we look and see that he did this, then he can trust. We can trust him for whatever is coming our way. Whatever is coming our way. That okay? All right. So now, notice he says here, as he goes on in verse 25, the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Most people believe that's a reference to Nehemiah, the difficulties that would be there. So keep in mind, again, as you turn, well, I turn my page, but you won't. Then he gets into a very specific part of the prophecy in verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be, what's it say? Cut off. What is he prophesying at this point? The death of Jesus Christ. He's prophesying it. So after the period of time, as you add this up, and I'm not going to spend time to go through all of this, but you see that happened. So we have this reference here, a period of time after the wall was rebuilt until Jesus will be cut off, but not for himself, it says in verse 26 there. And the people of the prince who is to come. Now, who's the prince? Look at that there that you see. Again, and the people of the prince who is to come. It's kind of unfair if you haven't studied this. Notice what he shall do. They shall do. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. There's judgment. Is this Christ? It's the Antichrist. Keep that in mind. So he's telling us right here what the Antichrist will do. That he will come on the scene. So he shall, and the people of the prince being the Antichrist, Satan would use the Roman legions in 70 AD to destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Judgment will be brought in. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This is what's known as the 70th week of Daniel. This is when the prophetic clock once again begins to tick forward. Right now, after 69 years, this prophetic clock with the nation of Israel, this timing that we see here, has come to a stop. And we're in the midst of, I believe, a special time. And we're going to look at it in just a moment here. Special time that we live in, which also will come to an end. But right now we see that he's prophesying that he shall confirm a covenant. Notice, then he shall confirm, I believe this is the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This is a seven-year period of time. 1 week again, as we go back through this again, 1 week is 7 years. So he's saying the Antichrist will confirm or force on them, is a better translation, a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, okay, of the 7 weeks, so 3.5 years into the 7 year period of time, notice what it says. But in the middle of the week, he, I believe, the Antichrist, shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Now, what that tells me is that some sacrifice and offering has to be established before we get 3.5 years into the tribulation. You guys with me? That's one. There's many reasons, but I believe there's going to be another temple that's going to be established. The temple will be established, and in the beginning, we'll look at some things here. We're going to see the Antichrist is going to have all the answers. He's going to be the dude. He's going to have all the answers. He's going to bring peace upon this earth. He's going to have the answers for everything. But then 3.5 years into the tribulation, he's going to really present himself for who he is. Abomination, desolation, you've heard of that? He'll do that in the midst of this. So in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, and even the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And so that's a prophecy that is very, very important for us to study even more. Just kind of hope, whet your appetite. If you've never seen this before, go back, study it, look it up in different things, different commentaries. It's just a wonderful, wonderful area of Scripture. Go with me to Revelation now, chapter 6, please. This world leader that we're talking about, and we'll see in verse 1 here, will arrive just in time to look to be the shining knight on the white horse. He will have the answer to the looming all-out war in the Middle East. He will be able to sell a 7-year peace with Israel, agreeing to this covenant, establishing this covenant, as will her enemies. So they're going to come together. Israel and the enemies will come together in this peace treaty. And in effect, the whole world will accept the leader's masterful sales pitch. But Israel's acceptance will fly in the face of God. This covenant made with death and hell, as it is called in Isaiah 28:15, will cause God's judgmental wrath to begin to fall upon the nation of Israel as we get into this time here. And so now go to this, if you wouldn't mind, okay? We're going into the classroom just for a moment. Is that all right? Okay, I'm going to give this to you. I am not going to go through every single thing here because it would take forever. But I encourage you guys to spend some time and study it. I did not put this together. I gleaned this, okay? And the first part of it is from a guy named Irvin L. Jensen. I would recommend that if you study the Word of God and you want great breakdowns of all 66 books in the Bible, get Jensen's breakdown of the books of the Bible. This one here, obviously, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He does it very, very well. If you look at this, notice he has a key verse on the top. Things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. Also, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He gives you like key words, lamb 29 times, throne 44 times. And then he begins to break down the book into different things that you can see there. You can see the chapters, and as they break it down, the seven churches, the seals, the trumpets, the seven bowls as you go across there, different things that you have. But it's going to be a lot to go through that, so I'm not going to do that. But you guys can have this, look at it. It'll give you an idea of the book of Revelation as we're going through it. Go to page 2. Eschatology. Now, this is Arnold Fruchtenbaum. I think I got his name close. It's not Jones. Okay. So now I borrowed this from him. I trust him in his prophecy and different things. I happen to agree with him. And so what you see there is the law from the left-hand side of the page. See that little line going down to the cross from the left to the bottom of the cross there? So we know that that's pointing to the Old Testament. He comes to the cross of Jesus Christ, and he enters in there. He's got a semicircle there called the dispensation of grace. We, I believe, are in the time of grace, the grace, and that's a wonderful time that we are. That's the church. The church has been birthed there, and the time of grace has been established. We are in what is called the church age also. You see the other semicircle below that. And then you see the 7 years or the great tribulation being emphasized there. Then after the 7 years of tribulation that he puts there that we're going to talk about a little more detail, you see the messianic age, 1,000 years. And then after that comes to an end, and we'll see in Scripture where that is, then you see another period of time, the aftermath and the eternal order that you have there. Make sense? Okay, now go to page 3. He just gives a picture of the church age. And again, I'm just going to touch on it real lightly as we go through here. You've got the law coming down. You have the cross, which represents Jesus Christ. And then you have the seven churches in the half circles there that are represented from left to right. You have the seven churches. Please look at that underneath there. It says Ephesus, the apostolic church. Smyrna is Roman persecution. Pergamum, age of Constantine. Thyatira, Dark Ages. This is how he labels them. Sardis, Reformation. Philadelphia, the missionary movement. And Laodicea, 1900 to the present, apostasy. So what do we find, according to him, ourselves in? Apostasy. Heading for a great falling away. In that way. A lot of good things have happened during that. Revivals have happened. Praise the Lord for that. God is gracious. He does wonderful things. But ultimately, I believe that we will come to a place of apostasy that we'll see there. Now, notice next to that, halfway through, underneath where it says 4 and 5, the semicircles 4 and 5, he just notes different things that have happened during this period of time that he's representing there. World War I, World War II, State of Israel became a nation, Jerusalem united under Jewish control in 1967. So he just, one world government, that's coming toward the future there as we see that. Then toward the right, we see the signing of the seven-year year covenant. So there's going to be a covenant that will be signed, as I mentioned earlier, a covenant of peace. I believe that. You will see that different areas in Scripture. There's going to be a period of peace and false security. He's going to bring that in. Everybody's going to think everything's hunky-dory. That's because of, notice there's the rise of the Antichrist, and there's 10 kingdoms. He puts it there, too. And so you have those different things. Now flip over to the last page. Again, you have the church age now coming to a close. Now, personally, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. That, I believe, took place in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. So then we see the picture in heaven there. And now as we go into chapter 6, you will not hear or see, you will not see the word church used until we get to the very end. The church totally disappears in the book of Revelation. That's a loud thing that's going on. No church. Why? Because the church is taken out. Again, I'm a pre-trib person. You be any trib that you want to be, but you'll be wrong, but that's okay. I'm not dogmatic, am I? But pre-trib, and I see it, and the different things that we see here. Again, just touching base on these things lightly. So you see the up above, you see the church age coming down, and then springing out of that, you see a semicircle, the largest one, 7 years are represented. Now, the way that he's broken this up, and I believe this is the same way, you have the first half, and you have the second half. In the first half, you have the first quarter, which are the seals, and we're going to begin those seals here in Revelation chapter 6. Then as we move on, you'll see the seventh seal opened up, which will give you the trumpets, the seven trumpets of judgment, of God's judgment. That will be the second quarter. As you get the seventh trumpet announced, then you're going to head into the second half of the tribulation, which are the bulls. And so you have a little bit of description below that line, the big printed line, all the way to the left. Notice it says 7-year covenant, again, will be established. Conquest of the Antichrist. We'll see him when he comes on a white horse in just a moment. World War I of the tribulation. Notice how he names that. There's a war that will come. And he calls it World War I of the tribulation. Famine will be there. And we'll see it in the war and famine, these things in Revelation chapter 6. One quarter of the earth will be destroyed. I know this is not a pretty picture, but it's reality. That's why we must witness and share with people, because this is true, right? It's what I spent time emphasizing. It's been true in the past, so it's true in the future. So we know that. We can base our lives upon that. Persecution of the saints. We'll see that in Revelation chapter 6, and we'll see it other places too. You'll see that the saints will be persecuted. Then general convulsions throughout nature. Blackout number 2, he calls it, all that. And all the way down to the bottom of that section, government system, 10 kings. He's just pointing out these things that will be part of this. 144,000 worldwide revival. Praise the Lord for that. Ministry of the two witnesses. I personally believe that one is definitely Elijah. The other one, I personally believe, is Enoch. Other people have different opinions on that. I could be wrong. But there's two witnesses that will be there. There's only two people that have not seen death besides Jesus Christ, right? Elijah and Enoch. And so that's the reason why I'm just giving you my reason for going there. You guys establish it's nothing to divide on, but that's something that we see there. So the two witnesses, interesting, as we will go through that and we'll develop that. The ministry of Elijah, that we see that. One of the then the religious system, eschatological Babylon, very important, false religion is going to be established. Now look under the trumpets, please. Under the trumpets, one-third of the dry earth will be destroyed. Under the trumpets, one-third of salt water will be destroyed. Under the trumpets, one-third of fresh water destroyed. Under the trumpets, one-third of heavens destroyed. Not the heaven of all heavens, but the heavens over the earth. Blackout number three, first invasion of demons to torment. We'll find that in Scripture. Second invasion of demons to kill. One-third of humanity destroyed. Not a pretty picture, is it? It could be downright depressing. But you can't stop in the middle of the book of Revelation. We need to go to the end. You'll see me as I go through this. We'll talk about the end. But we'll also talk about the fact that we should have a heart to share our faith with whoever we can whenever the door opens up. Because people loved us enough. How many here, by a show of hands, had someone personally witness to you somehow, some way, before you got saved? Okay? Were others on the TV? TV? Usually there's some way, radio or something like that. God can just meet you in the middle of nowhere, right? He can do that. And he does do that in people's lives too. But the witness, our witness to other people, is powerful. Now go to the circle above the line there that says second half. Then we get into the bowls. And this is where it really begins to get unleashed. This is what many call the Great Tribulation. The 7 years total are called the Tribulation. The second half is known as the Great Tribulation. That's even when stronger judgment comes. Notice sores, salt water destroyed, fresh water destroyed, heat of sun increased. Blackout number four, war of the great day of God the Almighty, World War III of the Tribulation, the second coming of Christ. Now, I'm not saying everything that he has here is exactly 100% correct. This is one, and I'm emphasizing that. You guys are good Bereans. You study it, go into it, but it is a good picture. I trust most of what you see here to share this with you guys tonight. Antichrist killed. Anybody go yippee? Yes, there's coming that day when he will be killed, but Satan cast down to the earth, number three, but notice number four, Antichrist rises from the dead. And I believe at that point, that's when Satan possesses the Antichrist, totally, my personal belief. Three kings killed, seven kings submit, that's out of the 10 kings that are there originally. Then the Babylon destroyed. The religious Babylon destroyed. Two witnesses will be killed. The seven-year covenant broken during this time. The abomination of desolation will be established. The false prophet will come to power. 666 of worship of the Antichrist and persecution of the Jews begins. I would like to emphasize that the witnesses will come back to life. They'll come back to life. And they'll ascend into heaven. So we see that. Now the millennium, as you go into that, the thousand-year reign, you see certain things that will happen as that we're heading into that. And I believe that the church right now for the 7 years, where is the church for the 7 years? In heaven. And then when Jesus in chapter 19 of Revelation comes back on his white horse, and it says there's those coming with him, who is that more than likely coming with him? The church coming back with him. So I can't wait for that. You know, horses are awesome. We'll get the giddy up. So the Antichrist and the false prophet cast into the lake of fire. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, but there's an interesting thing there. He'll be released after the 1,000 years. We'll see that as we close out the book of Revelation. And for one more testing of those on earth, will they stay strong with the Lord, or you know, we'll see that. And that's just what God has prophesied, what he's put in order for the reasons that he understands. Judgment of living Gentiles, resurrection of Old Testament and tribulation saints, renovation for the new heavens and the new earth, praise the Lord, establishment of the divinic throne, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Is that helpful? Yeah, it gives you an idea where we're going. Now, Revelation chapter 6, just bear with me for a little bit here. It's a pretty simple chapter, it truly is, and but we're going to refer back as we go. Just again, remember we talked about Matthew 24 and how important that is to prophecy? So what I'm going to do is we go through Revelation 6, and we'll end with this evening. We'll flash back. So I'd like you to turn to Matthew 24 and put your finger there too, so that we can flash back and forth real quick. Not spend a lot of time each time. Just keep it there. Keep your finger there as we go through this. But you now go to Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now I saw with the Lamb, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Remember this book that we see in Revelation chapter 5? You guys remember that? Those that weren't here, there's a book. I encourage you to study chapter 4 and chapter 5. Chapter 4, you see the Father on his throne. And then there's a book that is presented that no one is able to open. And John weeps because no one can open it. And all of a sudden comes the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. And he takes the book and he's beginning to open it. So that's what we see. Who opens this book? No one else except the Lamb. He's the one that opens this. He's in control of this. We need to see this. We might not, we may be saddened by what we see, but this is what will happen. And we have to understand that God has a purpose, because he is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of love, but he is a God of justice. And judgment he will bring upon those that reject him. That's why we must witness every time that we can. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, so the first seal, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, "Come and see." Now you'll see this expression, "come and see," in out of the seals that we see here in Revelation chapter 6, four different times, "come and see," he says specifically. So there's an invitation to come and look at this and understand is what's being established. In verse 2, and I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Who is this again? It's the Antichrist. It truly is. Now again, the crown that he has is Stephanos. It's a crown of, a victor. It's not a diadem, which is, a crown of royalty. And so the Antichrist is given power. He's given a bow. And it's interesting there, Dave was pointing out that the word for bow, again, my mind went blank. Yeah, toxin. And it's some kind of a fabric thing, bow that you saw. It's in the Strong Concordance. I looked it up. It's an interesting thing. So it's a different type of bow. Only time it appears is this place, in this place here. So he has a bow. He sat on it and had a bow. And a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. So he's given power. He has power. He's going to go out as we see it. There. Then in verses 3 and 4, we see the second seal opened. And when he opened the second seal, that's Jesus opening the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." Again, an invitation to look, but yet to study, to understand. And what he sees is another horse, fiery red, went out. This vision that he has. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. Notice what he's granted to do. Take peace from that earth, from the earth. The peace that was there from the Antichrist in the beginning of this period of time, the peace and safety that was there. Now this person here, so to speak, is being given power to take away the peace, to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. So now we have another sword in there. Now go back to me, please, to Matthew 24, 6 and 7. And you, verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. So what you see here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, directly relates to what you see in Revelation chapter 6, 3 and 4. Comfortable with that? So that's right there. Study it out, but that's, you see it again. Jesus speaks of it, and then John gets to see this vision in heaven. Then what we do is we move into verses 5 and 6, and we see famine. And Jesus opened the third seal. I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." An interesting statement that you see there. But what is a denarius? A day's wage. So what it's pointing out here is famine, because you'll have to use a whole day's wage just to buy a quart of wheat, where you make some kind of bread to live, to sustain your life. Or three quarts of barley. Again, it's the very basic. It says, do not harm the oil. There's many things. It seems to point out that luxuries will be available, but only for the rich and powerful, is one thinking thought about that. But I'm not sure personally. There's different thoughts to that. It's just one idea that I get there. Now, the famine, go back to verse 7 again, please, of Matthew chapter 24. And we'll repeat that verse again with this in mind. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And then this part. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. So you can see Jesus speaking of the end times, correct? Everybody see that? Now you see it amplified and come into reality there in the book of Revelation. That's as we move along fairly quickly here. Let's go to verses 7 and 8. And we see the fourth seal, widespread death on earth. When he opened, Jesus again opened the fourth seal. I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come and see." Come look, come study, come understand. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed with him. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. And so we have this again, this fourth seal. Keep your finger there. Now go back again to chapter 24 of Matthew. We've already read verse 7, but look at there in verse 8. It says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. They're only the beginning of sorrows. But then he says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So again, you see the parallel, Jesus speaking of it. Back to Revelation, please turn back there to verse 9 through 11. Interesting that you see here, he doesn't come and see, but it begins in verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Who would this be? People, you should be teaching this. People that didn't denounce Jesus Christ. Now, many people believe that the guillotine will be brought back. Many people believe that. If you read and you do research, you do see literature concerning that. They're doing that. That's a clean way of doing it, quick way of doing it, and a brutal way of doing it. So he opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, Lord? How long? You're holy and you're true. How long, O holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them. Purity, they made it through. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer. There was more time needed, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. And so there's a number of these people that will, the last person that will be killed this way, the number will be completed as you see it there. Now go back to Matthew chapter 24, please. Again, look at verses 9 and 10. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Okay? So you see that there, Jesus presenting it. And then let's go, please, to Revelation now, verse 12, chapter 6. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Cosmic disturbances. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, I said this a couple of weeks before, but again, notice they're hiding themselves. Look at verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Would we be hiding ourselves from Jesus? No. You know, if it was somewhere into the middle of the tribulation, we would be out there saying, "Hey, Lord, you know, I thought it was at the beginning, but here it is here, okay? Come on, Jesus, come now." Whatever it is. I don't know. I'm still pre-trib, pre-rapture man, okay? "For the great day of this wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" You know, sad things that we see there. Cosmic disturbances and divine judgment. Go with me, please, to Matthew 24. And we'll see the cosmic disturbances there. Okay. "Then many false prophets will rise up." Well, we'll go here first. "And many will be offended, will betray one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." And then we move into verse 15. Then we move into, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation," spoken of Daniel the prophet, "standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in the Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes." We see that this time comes. Many people believe this is the second part of the 7-year tribulation, and so on and so on. We don't have time. But then I want to go down to verse 29, please. It says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heavens with power and great glory. Praise the Lord. That's where we're going. That will happen. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you shall know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. People have been trying to figure this out forever. You know, the parable of the fig tree. And God knows the timing. He just says this will happen prior to the timing of this. But he says in verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, here's where I'm getting to, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So, just pretty simple study there, and we're just touching base on it. I pray that you guys would just study it even more and see how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. So, this time is coming, and at the end of it, Jesus will come, step foot on this earth. We'll get into that as we get into Revelation towards the end there, and we'll go into the millennium, and then we'll go into the time beyond the millennium in that way. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Things that are challenging, I pray that it's been presented in clarity, with clarity, and Lord, that you would just bless it to our hearts. Today, I'm mindful that we do not have to be afraid. God, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so we love you, Lord, and we pray that you would bless us and you would just encourage us. But Lord, we pray that even more so, as the times that we see here that we're living in are changing before our very eyes, give us a hunger, Lord. Give us a thirst. Drive us to our knees. Drive us into your scriptures. Take us to the highways and the byways that we might be the salt and the light in this earth. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please.